We hear again a few words from the gospel reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. We have come to the end of the church year, the final chapter of history. The last Sunday that wraps everything up at the close of the age, when Christ will appear as the Son of Man, coming in the clouds with great power and glory. When Christ will send out his angels to gather his elect from the whole earth. Now, these final Sundays of the Christian year draw us towards the last day. That final day is now hidden from our sight. But the last day is real, and it will come. German pastor Wilhelm Leia, who had a profound impact on the development of the Lutheran Church in America and the development of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, wrote this about the last day. The day of the Lord will come when we least expect it. On that day, everything will go on as usual, as any other day. The sun will rise, the people will go about their daily work, the old and the young will toil and do whatever is laid upon them. The children will hasten to school to gain wisdom for a long life. In short, as it is today, so will it be on the last day. No one will notice that the hour is at hand that the Father has kept for himself. Then, all at once, the light of eternity bursts into time. Suddenly, everything comes to an end. All cares, all rejoicing, all sighing, all crying and working. The world becomes silent. Every eye looks heavenward and sees, recognizing in the midst of the angels the one whose concealed life is now revealed. Now, we confess frequently this last day in the Nicene Creed when we say, "And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead." Now, we have said these words so often, but what do they really mean? The day of Jesus' coming on the last day is a day of judgment, as we confess. But we must be very clear about who will be judged on the last day. So the question is, who will be judged and who will not be judged? Jesus answers this question for us this morning in our text. At the beginning of the gospel reading, Jesus speaks of cosmic signs of his return and of his powerful and glorious return. And then Jesus tells us that it is coming. He will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, for the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Now, when Jesus speaks of his elect, he is talking about you, the one saved by Jesus himself. Notice that Jesus says nothing about there being judgment towards the believer on the last day. Judgment on the last day is reserved only for the unbeliever. But for the believer, as we confess in the small catechism in the third article of the Creed, on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. You see, dear people, before the last day, we were already judged. We were judged on Jesus' judgment day, the day he came not to judge, but to be judged. when he took our place on a cross, took our sins into his sinless life, embraced our death in his death, and was condemned with the condemnation that we so deserve. That Good Friday, when the Son of Man died for the sins of the world, was Jesus' judgment day for us. And we know where that day led: to resurrection, to life, to glory, and the right hand of God. That judgment was pronounced over you on your own head in your baptism, when you were united with Jesus in his death, his life, his glory. You were clothed with Christ. You were put into Christ and made a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In Christ, you are already glorified. In Christ, we are already in the new creation. And so the end of all things old means the beginning of all things new. Jesus does make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth, a new you. So, the return of the Lord Jesus in judgment on the last day means for us now that even though we always live as those who walk under the shadow of death, and that we are sinners, we can still live in confidence and peace. The believer in Jesus Christ does not have to fret about the final judgment, living in uncertainty and fear. This is true because God has already rendered his verdict for you ahead of the last day. God has already pronounced to you, "I forgive you all your sins." And this absolution is as sure and certain here on earth as it is in heaven. So now, how do we live as Christ's end time people? In today's epistle, Jude tells us, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Jude 21. Now, to keep in the love of God is to be on the receiving end of his love towards us, hearing his word, receiving his sacraments of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and having the forgiveness of sins pronounced upon us in the stead and by the command of Christ. God has given us everything, and we are his own. Now that we are God's own, we can now do for our neighbor as God has done for us, and give ourselves to our neighbor as God has given himself to us. We can now willingly and lovingly serve our neighbor. So how do we do this? We do this in our everyday life, in our various vocations, as citizens, as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, as workers, as employers, and the like. In this context, God is at work through us, caring for his people, each of whom contributes according to his own God-given talents, gifts, and opportunities. All of these vocations are the channel of God's love towards his people. In addition, in these end times, the Lord uses us to build up his church, and the Holy Spirit dwells with us according to his word. We live a life together in our congregation, as a community, a place where we belong, where we love and are loved, where we receive all of God's gifts and respond in thanks and praise. Here we share the love of Christ through preaching the gospel and the administration of the sacraments for the forgiveness of sins. Now at the end of Jude, in the final two verses, there is final comfort here on this last Sunday of the church year. Jesus is the one who keeps us from stumbling and presents us blameless at the end. It is not our doing. It is not our religious efforts, our work, our piety, or anything that we do. Jesus keeps us blameless in the robe of his righteousness. Jesus keeps us from stumbling by his sure feet that have trampled sin, devil, and the death. He is your beginning, your end, your Alpha and Omega, your life and salvation. Trust him to the end, and you will see with resurrection eyes what you now believe. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus.